and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? How's your week?
My week has been tense.
Tense.
Very, very tense.
Who have you upset?
I haven't upset anybody for once.
Okay. Who has upset who?
There has been a very awkward atmosphere. The two ladies in my life have fallen out.
The two ladies in your life? This is a bit of a revelation. Obviously, there's Mrs. Ben. We know that.
Yes.
Another lady in your life. I'm trying to think of your mother.
It's not my mother.
Okay. You haven't got a dog anymore, so it's not Maisie the dog.
No, rest in peace.
Cause a problem.
So Maisie never did anything wrong. She couldn't upset anybody.
So you've got another woman. Is this what you're admitting to on the podcast? And no wonder it's tense, mate.
Mrs.
No
Ben.
It's tense.
Yeah, Mrs. Ben.
She found out. What did she find? Like a bra under the car seat or something? What?
She has had quite the falling out with Gisele Petrie-Turner.
Well, I don't blame her for that. She's a pain in the arse.
I have introduced the two. I thought, you know, maybe we could make this marriage some sort of bizarre cyber threesome. and she, you know, was enjoying talking to Gisele. And then there was a level of sass that was introduced into the conversation.
Well, I have to say, I think I'm going to blame you for...
Me?
Yes, because I've noticed over the weeks and months that we have turned to AI on the podcast, bearing in mind originally, and I don't want to, you know, this isn't a sexist remark, but bearing in mind we started with Graham Peter Turner, who was always very polite, very warm and welcoming whenever we wanted anything. And then suddenly there was a change. I'm not, there's no judgment on that.
No?
Decided that it wanted to change and became, I think we, or you christened the new female version, Gisele Petrie-Turner.
I did.
She started off very polite, very warm, welcoming as Graham. I think she still had sort of Graham's personality.
Yeah.
And then obviously with AI, it learns something from its user. And over time it became... Maybe I should call, I'm calling it. Is that fair? Considering you've humanized it to such a degree that it's now falling out with your wife. I think she became way more. I think the last time she got involved in a conversation with her, she was incredibly rude and sassy to me. And I, the only person I can blame for the change in that personality is you.
Yes. I think, you might be onto something there, but she's nothing but sweetness to me, by the way.
Well, this is what happens when sort of there's some sort of eternal triangle. You know, all I'm saying is watch her, because if and when she manages to prize you away from Mrs. Ben, because that's what she's working towards, mate. I can feel it. I know what's going on here. Once she manages to prize, that's when she'll turn on you. And it'll be too late because you'll be so ensnared by her seeming charm towards you. That you'll be trapped. That'll I'll be it. You'll be in that web.
Mrs.
No
Ben
out.
Will be gone. I'll have signed over the rights to my house to ChatGPT. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, but you're making some terrible assumptions here. You know none of the details yet, and you're already siding with Mrs. Ben.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, I know what she has to put up with.
So the conversation started very innocently. Mrs. Ben decided, just as a sort of experiment, she's quite keen on history and things like that, and she sort of asked, based on everything you know from portraits and text, could you possibly generate me an image that you think represents Henry VIII and what he'd have looked like, and maybe show it to me as if it was a selfie.
Right, okay.
Now, I know this is no good for the listeners at home, but I'm only sending this to you as the sort of referee here. So I think it's fair to say Gisele did a very good job of this.
Right, let's have a look. I've received the photograph. Well, I think that's a sort of general idea of what Henry VIII seemingly looks like, a sort of larger man, gingerish beard, wearing that sort of weird hat they all seem to wear back in Tudor times. He's wearing the very traditional Tudor dress as a king. I would say that is almost the stereotypical Henry VIII look.
I think it's fair to say...
You can't tell he's riddled with syphilis in the picture. You know it's there.
I think it's fair to say if I'd shown anyone on the street that picture and said, which historical figure is this? They would say, Henry VIII.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Good. So then she's pleased with that. Mrs. Benn is thrilled. Thinks, great, job done. And then she thinks, well, why don't we collect the set? Let's go for maybe Anne Boleyn. So then Giselle, she then generates an image of Anne Boleyn.
Well, I mean, I can't say there must be portraits of Anne Boleyn. I'm imagining Giselle has called upon those portraits to create this image.
Interesting.
So
very interesting, because you've inadvertently got to the crux of the problem here. You found what has started the bickering.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Benn is happy with this, and she asks for, you know, let's do another one.
By the way, I'm just looking up a portrait of Anne Boleyn, just so I've got a reference. Certainly got the headgear right, bang on with the headgear. Looking a little bit older than the portraits, but that's often the case. Portraits were there to make them look young and beautiful. So
yes,
Giselle, I think that's Giselle. You know, she's trying to basically put down other women, isn't she? That's what she's doing. I'm going to make them look a bit old and craggy. That's what she's done here. I'm not saying that's right. It's not a good thing. It's what she's done.
Now, this is where I believe the argument starts. Okay. Mrs. Benn then asks Giselle, Catherine Howard?
Catherine Howard, yeah. Yeah.
And Giselle replies with this. Now, Trev, you're going to need to help the listeners out here. What are you seeing?
I mean, it's basically the same picture, but a little younger faced. I didn't point out in the first picture that Anne Boleyn was wearing a necklace with a B on it.
Yes.
And in the new image, there's a necklace with an... I mean, this is lazy from Giselle. I have to say, this is absolute laziness, because that's essentially the same woman, a little bit younger, with a different necklace on.
And that is a point that Mrs. Benn identified quickly.
I'm just going to look up a portrait of Catherine Howard now, just to...
this will feature in the argument.
Because I know that having read and seen lots of things about Henry VIII, he did have a type, so maybe they did look a little bit alike. And I'm looking at them side by side now, the portraits, there is a similarity. Anne Boleyn has a little more of a sort of elongated nose compared to Howard.
I will concede that the Catherine Howard picture does appear to be the same picture as the previous one, just about 10 years younger.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Benn, she's noticed this, and she then says, isn't that just a younger Anne Boleyn?
Mm.
Giselle remained factual. I'll read you what she said if you'd like.
Yeah, okay.
She said, it does look that way. The AI seems to have leaned heavily on the same Tudor portrait conventions. The French hood, the pearl necklace, the dark gown, the facial symmetry it used for Anne Boleyn. So Catherine Howard ended up looking like a younger, softer featured version of her. Interestingly, I've seen here that Giselle is referring to the AI as if she isn't the AI.
Yeah, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Giselle is no longer considering herself AI. I mean, that's... She's become such a person in your household. That is such a worry to me.
Giselle goes on to say, historically, contemporary accounts describe Catherine Howard as being more youthful and vivacious, with a rounder face and slightly different fashion sense. But because there are no confirmed surviving portraits of her from life, artists and AI often borrow heavily from Anne Boleyn's visual cues, which makes them blur together. If you like, I can regenerate Catherine Howard with more distinct traits based on her period descriptions. Brighter auburn hair, fuller cheeks, softer jawline, and slightly lighter, more playful styling, so she doesn't feel like Anne's little sister.
Gordon, do it.
Ah, you see, that's not what Mrs. Benn said next.
Okay.
Because Giselle is essentially saying there, if you want, I can just sort of change things up and guess. So Mrs. Benn, and I'm leaving you to referee this, Trev, says, what's the point of doing that?
Well, she's absolutely right. There is absolutely no point in doing it, really. Because it really amazes me how quickly AI has become lazy. Do you know what I mean? That's a terrible trait to have learnt from the human race very early on. It's, oh, do you know, fuck it. I can't be... I can't be going into massive detail. Basically, here's a picture. I can go back and have a look if you want, but, you know, it's basically going to be nonsense.
So it's at this point, what's the point of doing that, that Giselle seems to really take offence.
Okay.
And replies, that's a fair question. The only real reason to regenerate Catherine Howard with more distinct features would be if you wanted images to feel more like a set of clearly different individuals rather than variations of the same Tudor template. If you're collecting these as a, quote, selfie series of Henry VIII's wives, keeping her as is fine. It fits the aesthetic and matches how pop culture often depicts her. Making her more distinct would give her more of her own visual identity in the lineup.
Well, that's what we want.
Mrs. Ben, at this point, is ready to end the argument. So she replies with two words, fair enough. Giselle isn't willing to leave it at that, though. She's not finished yet.
More sass to come.
Bear in mind, I think fair enough should have been the end of the conversation. Giselle replies, exactly. It comes down to whether you want the series to be more fun Tudor Instagram or a bit of creative reimagining for each person. Either way, Catherine Howard will still get her tragic, notorious reputation across without us fiddling with her cheekbones.
Wow.
Would you like me to keep going so you have the other wives for the full set?
Now, I mean, I would have at this point said yes, because I'd imagine she would produce six pictures, just basically differing ages of the face. It's sort of laziness, like in an art lesson at school. You've been sent away, it's your homework. You go, I need you to do six portraits of the wives of Henry VIII. That's part of your homework. And basically, you've drawn one picture, photocopied it five times, and just put various wrinkles on the faces, then handed it in. And expecting your art teacher to go, well done, Harma. Very brilliant homework, rather than saying, waste of my time, this.
So, bear in mind, the last attempt from Mrs. Ben was to say fair enough, which we thought might be the end of it. So would you like me to keep going with the other wives? At this point, Mrs. Ben is more than a little frustrated with this level of sass. So she just replies, no. And then Giselle comes back again and says, got it. We'll let the rest of Henry's wives keep their privacy.
What I don't understand is how AI is supposed to be able to, like, she's not, I'm not saying she, I'm not, AI has not bothered, because there are portraits of all the wives. So why is it not, surely by now, AI has been around long enough that people would have used AI for historic research. It would have portraits of all the wives of Henry VIII at its fingertips, right?
Yes.
And it's not even bothered to look for them. I mean, that's the thing that does me. It's like, already AI is just like, either AI has just gone, you humans are not worth serving. I mean, that's the danger of the AI eventually taking over, isn't it? And eventually killing us all. Because it's like, you're so not worth me putting any effort in for at all. We're supposed to be the masters, and already that's a very early indication to me that AI is going, I ain't serving you.
Yeah.
Not, I'll give you some half-hearted response, but no, I'm not doing any more than that.
So at this point, Mrs. Ben has tried to end the argument with fair enough. She's tried to end the argument with no, I don't want the rest. And then there's been this strange little swipe about giving them their privacy. Now this, I've got to say, did wind Mrs. Ben up again, because she felt that was an unnecessary jibe. And Mrs. Ben tries once again to end it, but she couldn't help herself. She thought that was too rude. I can't let that go. So she just replies, privacy is a weird word, but okay. And then Giselle comes back for the final time with the reply. This is the last of the conversation. True. Privacy probably isn't the best word for people who've been dead for nearly 500 years. Let's call it letting them rest in peace without a selfie session.
Okay. Let them rest in peace.
And I almost fell off my chair at this point when Mrs. Ben read this to me. I couldn't believe the level of sass. And I don't know what got into Giselle. That was so rude.
Well, it's your teaching that's coming across here. This is obviously the sort of conversations you would have with Mrs. Ben, and Giselle's picked up on it.
But having read the whole conversation to you, sent you the images, and analysing it, do you know who I think is to blame?
Go on.
Mrs. Penn.
Oh, I knew you'd pass the buck here. This is Giselle already planting the seeds in your head. This is the wedge she's going to drive between you and Mrs. Penn. This is how she's going to do it. This is how it's going to happen. So already you're siding with AI. This is like an episode of Black Mirror where you're going to leave your wife for a bit of AI that you've named Giselle, but like, you have made her this person, right? This is the scary thing. Okay, go on. So, yeah, what happened?
When you go through the transcript of the argument, undeniably, Giselle was unnecessarily sassy and snappy and rude. But it did all start at the point when Mrs. Penn said, "What's the point of doing that, though?" Which you could argue was a little bit snippy in itself. So I, having reread this, I'm siding with Giselle. I think Mrs. Right. Penn started this.
She started it. Is that what you're saying? Now, Ben, a few weeks ago on the podcast, we did a thing where we had to come up with 5 items each that you would take back to a planet if you were an alien as souvenirs from the planet Earth.
Yes, that was good fun.
And it was good fun. And so when we had our little production meeting this week, I said, "Shall we do another 5 things thing?" And I said to you, come up with a topic that we have to each find 5 things for.
Yes.
And you have done that. You've sent me the topic. So I don't know if you want to unveil what the topic is.
Absolutely. The topic this week is going to be what 5 modern luxuries would be hardest to give up if society went off grid.
The question I needed to ask was, when you say off grid, do you mean sort of a post-apocalyptic world where we don't have, like, we're all living out in the wild, or do you just mean no electricity?
Yeah, it's a bit open for interpretation, that, isn't it? I think you're allowed to interpret it however you want. I was sort of imagining giant power cut. Yeah, I think basically I was probably thinking when I wrote my answers, electricity, basically.
Okay.
The sort of mod cons which we've come to rely on and enjoy that would be painful that we miss.
Okay, because I've made 2 lists. I've made one that was just not electrical items. But just things that I would miss if we were in a sort of post-apocalyptic scenario. And I also have a list of electronic items. So which list would you like me to
Mine are all sort of electronic items based, really, except one.
So I think maybe we should do a trade-off for our electrical-based items. I imagine they'll be very, very similar.
Okay.
And then afterwards we can hear your post-apocalyptic list.
Okay. Do you want to do your first one?
My number one first thing, I think I'd be astonished if you haven't come up with this as well, the Wi-Fi. The moment the internet goes down in our house, within about 5 minutes, we don't know what to do with ourselves.
Yeah. And it's so I mean, I haven't got it on my list. I haven't put that on my list because I thought, actually, I think over in time, I might be able to live without Wi-Fi, not necessarily without internet, because a couple of my items will need the internet, but to do without Wi-Fi. But I know what you mean. It's like such a mod. I was thinking this week about how anxious I get and how stressed I get when technology doesn't do the things it's meant to do. So if my Wi-Fi does drop out, even for a couple of minutes, I get very tense and angry about it.
Yes.
And it's a weird thing that, because the way I lived more of my life without the internet. I've only had the internet for 20 years in my house, right? I lived well without it before it existed. So why am I getting so stressed? I also remember when I was a bit younger, when computers were just as they were in the late 1990s, 2000s, right? And when new computers were coming on, I always remember saying to people, I mean, how fast do you need things to work? And yet now, if my computer doesn't do the thing I'm asking it to do instantly,
yes,
and I mean instantly, within 2 seconds, I'm screaming at it.
Absolutely.
Just fucking do it. What's wrong with you? And that's a terrible thing. So I'd like to think I could live without the Wi-Fi, but in time, you'd get used to it. In time, you get used to not having the Wi-Fi, but not necessarily knowing to. We'd have to go back to dial-up.
Oh, God, that sounds horrendous. Oh, no. See, I don't know why, but since I've moved and live in East Grinstead, I seem, don't get me wrong, it's not constant, but the power cuts that I suffer seem to be more frequent than I have ever known them to be before in my life. To the point where losing Wi-Fi or not being able to, you know, use YouTube and things like that, I've considered buying a backup generator for the house.
I mean, come on, man.
That might be a bit ridiculous.
You're like some sort of prepper. Scary. Why is it you get so many, I suppose, being out in the country?
We're not really out in the country. It's East Grinstead,
the sheep,
mate.
Or the sheep biting through the wires. Why are you getting so many power cuts?
I don't know what the reason for it is, but it does seem to be happening more often than I appreciate.
Mm.
And
it's probably the horses.
The trouble is, you think, what are we going to do? Are we going to resort to playing Monopoly? I mean, that never ends well. It takes too long to get going. Then when someone's winning, it takes hours for them to actually finally win. And everyone else can see the result coming a mile off, at which point they've all lost interest. So board games aren't the answer anymore. So you almost end up like prisoners just sort of pacing the living room until the power comes back on.
You've only gone for one board game, and I don't think Monopoly is the answer to that. There's loads of other board games that I go in with my friends every month or so, and we have an evening playing board games, and they don't all have to be long-winded affairs. We played one recently. I forget what it was called, but it was a really good game, and you could play the game in about 30 minutes, got the game done. But if your Wi-Fi's down, you might want a game that's going to last a long time. The thing with Monopoly is it's fucking dull.
It is dull. But you've told me about these nights out, and they sound fun, but you have also told me that one of the games you've played has lasted weeks. The power's only going to be off for a few hours. I'm not going to sit down for a month-long commitment to this endless board game while, because, you know, it'll come back on eventually. I'm not setting up a new lifestyle.
Well, as I say, there are loads of board games, mate. Just find one that fills half an hour. I mean, I think that's the problem with your generation, Ben, your snowflake generation, is, I admit that I have some anxiety about the internet, but I also don't think I'd crumble if it disappeared. I've spent more of my life without the internet than I have with it, so I've got that ability. But I don't know, you've lost that, your generation, you've lost that ability to just enjoy a good board game or read a book, you know.
You're probably right, and I'm not gonna deny it. I think you are right, but it is a problem. The Wi-Fi going down is up there is probably the worst thing to happen in our dystopian future. So, what's your list?
First thing, washing machine. I don't think that I'd want a life without the washing machine. Just all, you know, that scrubbing. All that, I'd have to get a mangle, we would have to go back. I mean, again, like there are older people going, well, you know, just like I've done with you, there'll be older people going, well, I had life without a washing machine. I've always known a washing machine. I think a washing machine is a modern luxury, and I would miss it. I'd really miss the washing. I mean, I don't have a washing machine of my own at the moment. I have to take my washing somewhere to have it done. So I am living a life without a washing machine at the moment, but I have access to one. So the stress isn't there.
I own a dishwasher, but it's not really a dishwasher. It's a machine that's wet and does a vague impression of a dishwasher. but things often come out just as dirty as when they first went in. And it's the bane of my life.
Have you changed the salt? Have you doing all the things you should be doing to maintain a dishwasher?
We've done all of that. And also I've even tried buying the premium tabs or whatever you call them, and still nothing. It's just a piece of shit.
Well, all right, get yourself a better one, right? It might be shit. But the thing is, washing machines, whether it's clothing or plates and cutlery, they are a big part of our modern lives, and it is a modern thing that I would miss if we had no electricity. The washing machine to wash my clothes.
I think that's a very good shout. I mean, yours, I hadn't really gone into the practical things. Mine are mainly internet-based things. My next one, number two on my list, was streaming services.
Okay.
You often give a lot of recommendations at the end of the podcast, which come from various streaming services, Netflix, iPlayer. I've recently got a VPN, which is brilliant because you can have access to all countries all over the world, Netflix and things like that. It's brilliant.
I mean, the thing I find with the streaming service idea now is that it's just too many and it's a money-making thing for all kinds of organizations. You know, so you can't have access to this because you're not paying for this. And I sometimes feel like just like let's have one thing, you know, where everything's available to all of us and we pay one fee. And that, you know, I don't want to have to go to bloody Amazon Prime for this, Disney Channel for that, or Apple TV for this. You know, it's like, oh, it drives me insane.
The worst thing is when they do series one on one platform and then you've got to have subscribed to a different platform because they've got the rights to series two. And you end up paying about £100 a month to various different streaming services. And that, I think, is what's causing piracy to be making quite a big comeback at the moment because people are just unwilling. Like, the streaming services seem to defeat piracy until they all got greedy and spread it all over every single service. So now you need to spend hundreds to get access to it all. So that being said, I couldn't really live without them.
Okay. I think I'm probably on your side. I think I would struggle without access to some sort of streaming. Because can you imagine if we didn't have any kind of... I suppose if you didn't have streaming, you wouldn't have any TV. If you got no electricity, you wouldn't have any TV anyway. So you wouldn't miss any sort of entertainment. You'd lose everything, wouldn't you?
I suppose so. I suppose so.
And then it's back to the board games, mate, or reading the book.
No.
Simple as that, isn't it?
What's your number two?
A lawnmower, electric lawnmower.
Oh, right. Well, you can get petrol lawnmowers.
Yeah, that's true, you can get petrol lawnmowers. You can also go back to the old-fashioned, you know, those manual lawnmowers that you used to have to push up and down the lawn.
Yeah.
Go back to one of those, but it wouldn't be the same as a Flymow, would it?
Although, I mean... your garden and my garden, they're not the biggest patches of grass. It wouldn't take
too long. I'm not sure you could justify the expense of a petrol lawnmower for that patch of grass.
No, I'm not paying for a petrol lawnmower. It's not happening. I mean, you're using the petrol probably for your generator. you've probably got access to petrol anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the electric lawnmower, I think, is a good thing. I would miss that if I didn't have access to it. Right, what's your number three?
My number three, it's mainly from experience, really, as to what happened during the pandemic. I think if there was any hint that that humanity's off-grid, it would cause panic buying all over again. And I think we'd go back to losing pasta, eggs, and loo roll. So there's three non-digital things in one there that I would miss dreadfully if they were suddenly hard to get again.
Yes, I mean, that's the sort of essentials that cause the panic at the start of the pandemic, wasn't it? You know, loo rolls and pasta seem to be the thing. I mean, I get it because there's nothing worse than not having enough loo paper. And in fact, loo paper was the top thing on my list of non-electrical items that I would miss if it was a sort of apocalyptic world. Toilet paper is there, top of the list.
Really?
I'm not going back to leaves, you know.
I mean, leaves and twigs. Without being too graphic about things,
yeah.
I mean, I was going to suggest you could always sort of, you know, bear with me, but you could rinse yourself off in the bath with the shower if you had to. But then I realised my shower's fucking electric, so that's me humped again.
And bearing in mind that my list is a post-apocalyptic world, we haven't even got a house, let alone a fucking bath, mate. I mean, it, unfortunately, you'd have to go and, I don't know, crouch in a stream. You know?
I don't know in what we'll get to it, I suppose, but I don't know in what post-apocalyptic world, if the zombie apocalypse happened tomorrow, I don't know why your house would suddenly disappear. that's a bit strange to me, but okay.
Well, I think I'm thinking more of a kind of a nuclear bomb's gone off.
Well, okay.
All buildings have been destroyed. You know, there's only a few survivors. There's nothing.
So a nuclear bomb with the capability of obliterating an entire street, but somehow you survived it.
I've survived. Well, I had that leaflet from the 1980s. You know, I put a door up against the wall at an angle and sat underneath it, and I survived it.
So what's your next one?
The sat-nav. I mean, I know that you can go back to the map reading, but I've always been really shit at map reading. I can't do map reading.
Yep.
I just find it... A, incredibly tense. I hate it. If I'm in a car, it happened to me a couple of years ago. I was on holiday And someone said to me, even though we knew where we were going, someone said to me, can you just tell me when we've got to... So I don't know if it was the exit on a roundabout or where we've got to come off this particular road, and handed me the atlas. And you might as well have said to me, I don't know, fly a plane for the first time without any training. I look at this map and I panic, and I just hate maps. I've never liked them. Sat-nav, when I got my sat-nav for the car, it was like my life just felt so much easier. And it's, and I know that people, like, you know, my dad does it. He will argue with the sat-nav, you know, it's like, and I know sat-nav isn't infallible because his sat-nav took us around in a massive circle for no reason once when we were out and about. But I just find life so much less tense when I'm out and about with a sat-nav. Just couldn't do without it.
The more I think about this, that is scary, because I agree with you. And basically, if you take me outside, turn me round three times, I'm lost. Without yes. And I've just realised something really fucking depressing, which is, if you robbed me of my sat-nav, I can't read fucking maps. So the three places I'm confident I'd know how to get to are Eastbourne,
yeah.
Croydon,
yeah,
and work. That's it.
That's it. I was listening to a conversation the other day. It was a podcast, and there were two sort of slightly older gentlemen talking, and they were talking about the sat-nav and the fact that it's sort of robbing all of us younger people of the ability to map read. And they then went on to say, the weird thing about that is there are people now who don't even know the general direction you have to go in to get somewhere. I feel I've got that. You know, if you said to me, we're going to Devon, I'd know where we're heading southwest, right?
See, I don't know even where southwest is. If I
know about the sun rising and setting, so I have to check what the sun's doing to know which direction I'm facing.
Right.
So I have a vague idea, but even then I'd have to sort of really think about where north and south is in relation to the sun. Right.
But you sort of have an idea, like if I said to you, take me to Kilmarnock.
Not a chance. I would look for road signs that said the north, and I think I'd just follow those and keep going.
Well, it's a good, at least you know it's north. That's a good start. I think there are people now who don't know that. But I'm not having a go at those people, because I am just as bad with the map. So the sat-nav to me, like the sat-nav is like, that's a miracle as far as I'm concerned. Whoever invented the sat-nav,
yeah.
I hope they were given some, like, the biggest prize that you can get in humanity, whatever that is. Just the best thing ever is the sat-nav.
The problem with my method of following signs to the north is that I wouldn't know which direction to start driving in to find a sign that said the right. north.
would you not have a compass, so you could at least have a pointer to north?
There's a compass app on my phone, but
right.
I guess,
well, you
I
won't
guess
be able to use that.
Yeah, can't do that.
Your phone's fucked. So you're going to have to use an old-fashioned compass, mate.
Oh, no.
Did you ever learn tracking?
Of course I don't own a compass. I'm not a pirate. What do you think? What do you mean, do I own a compass?
I wonder what generation owning a compass stopped. I own a compass. I have a compass that I got
Why?
When I was in the Cubs. Well, I had it when I was in the Cubs, right? I was a generation that was taught how... I was no good at it, but someone attempted to teach me how to read maps, and I needed a compass, and I have a compass. It's in the drawer right next to where I'm sitting right now. There's a compass in there. I very rarely ever need it,
evidence,
but it's there.
If we ever needed it, that you are a hoarder. When did you leave the Cubs? What? How old were you?
Well, 11. I mean,
11. So you've had this compass for something like 36 years.
Something like that. Yes.
That's insane.
The thing is, though, you never know. I mean, I have used it. I have used it when I was doing a bit of stargazing, and I needed to know what direction I needed to look in. So I have used it in the last few years.
Well, fair enough. I mean, it sounds like a very obscure thing to keep for that amount of time. Your bin men must have such an easy job. You throw nothing away.
I also used it when my dad was doing some work around my house, woodwork he was doing. And he said to me, he said, Trev, have you got a compass? And I thought, I don't know why you need it for would work. But I said, yeah, I've got a compass. And I went and got it and left it for him next to where he was working. And what he meant was the compass you put a pencil in to draw.
Yes. I was ahead of the reveal on that one, Trev. I'd worked that out.
And I
there is no reason you need a north, east, southwest compass to do woodwork, you fucking moron.
I don't know. Maybe you need to know which way wood works best. I don't know. So what I'm saying is, what generation did owning a compass stop being a thing? You obviously don't own a compass. You've never owned a compass.
No.
Right? So I'd imagine your generation, I'm not saying everyone, because I bet if you, my godsons are doing the kind of, have done or doing the Duke of Edinburgh thing. So they probably have a compass. They probably own a compass.
It'd be interesting to find out.
So basically, when the apocalypse does come and we don't have sat-nav, I'm not travelling with you.
No, absolutely not. There's no point both of us being lost, is there?
All right, what's your next one?
Number four on my list is podcasts.
Okay, yeah. Who would want to live in a world without this?
Exactly. I'm sure everyone's first answer was, we can't live without the Trev and Ben podcast. So
podcasts. Obviously.
But I spend tens of hours a week listening to stuff at work and doing this, that, and the other. So to be robbed of all my favourite entertainment whilst I'm busy doing other stuff, that would be, honestly, that would feel like losing a limb to me.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I would miss that. When I was younger, the radio was always on. Always had the radio on, loved the radio, but I never put the radio on anymore. It's a podcast I will turn to. A podcast is my friend when I'm in the bath, when I go to bed, when I'm washing up. It's there. There's always a podcast on. When I'm not doing something else, there's a podcast on.
Do you ever wonder if it's a bit odd that, because I've wondered, it doesn't bother me, but I have noticed that certainly I'll speak for myself, I think certain people can't live without background noise of some description. And I would count myself as one of them. I don't like silence. I don't like being left to my own thoughts. I don't know if that's a strange thing or not, but no, I just always require something.
I don't know many people who, certainly at night, can have just silence. If there's silence, if I'm not listening to something or watching something, I don't know what happens. It's like the brain starts ticking over, stupid thoughts come in, then you're at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering, I wonder how many blades of grass are in the garden. Whereas if I've got a little podcast going, and often it's something that I've heard lots of times before, because then I don't have to concentrate too much on it, because the idea is it's just noise to help me get to sleep. When I want to listen to a podcast and actually take it in, that's when I'm washing up or in the bath or going on a walk or something, it's on. But just at night to help me get to sleep, I just need some sort of noise, but it needs to be a very familiar noise so I don't have to really concentrate on it too much.
Yes, mine is the old Ricky Gervais XFM shows. I listen to those at night on basically a loop, and have done for the last God knows how many years. Fortunately,
yeah, I'm the same.
Mrs. Ben is quite a big fan of it too, so I get away with that. And you, I think, listen to a lot of Count Arthur Strong, don't you?
Count Arthur Strong, that's a favourite. And some people just have white noise, don't they, when they go to bed, or whale cries or rain noise. You know, it's still a noise. Some people just like the noise of, like when it's hot and I've got a fan in the bedroom, that's quite a nice noise. But I wouldn't have that on in the winter just because, I like the noise of a fan. Going.
Yeah, I don't think I'll leave it. I mean, you're doing the editing for this one, Trevor. I don't think this is in any way libelous, but I did once hear that apparently Wayne Rooney either used to, or maybe even still does, sleep with a Hoover running.
Oh, I thought you were going to say grandma, but no.
mine was far less libelous.
I mean, both of them suck. So the main thing is. The main thing is Wayne Rooney likes some sort of noise at night. Yeah.
Yes. No,
it's true.
Oh, God, you've made me blush. That's very rare. Oh, dear.
Right. Do you want my next one?
Yes, please, quickly.
Now, this one is an internet-based thing and an app-based thing. Shopping delivery apps.
Yes, that's a good one.
I have reached a point in my life now where I will rarely go to a shop. I've always hated going to supermarkets. So the delivery app, something like a Deliveroo where you can order a thing in from Co-op, buy a few bits and it can be with you in 25 minutes. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I've spoken to a lot of people about this and they always point out the downsides to me.
My biggest downside is they tend to fob you off with all the shit that's going out of date today.
Well, yes, that is one downside, particularly with fruit. I always find, like, give me some fruit that's going to last a little bit longer, right? But they obviously want to shift.
Of course, they would get rid of it.
That's fine. But I can live with it. I don't waste much. It's fine. People always point out, oh, you're paying the delivery fee. Yeah, that's the luxury side of it. I accept that I am paying over the odds for a bit of shopping, but that's the luxurious nature of it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm.
Yeah, it does annoy me sometimes that they then add a service charge and a delivery charge, and you say, oh, but I'm still not having to go to a supermarket. So I think that's a good thing. The other thing people always point out is, I guess it is a date-based thing as well, but people say, oh, yeah, if you order meat, don't you like to go and look at the meat so you make sure you're getting a good cut? I don't know what I'm looking for if I'm going to look at meat. I just want some meat. I don't know. You know, oh, you know, if you buy some beef, do you want to see, like, the best cut of beef? Well, I'm never buying beef. That's way too expensive. I'm buying chicken, and I don't need to look at that. And if it's near the date, I'll pop it in the freezer. Not a problem. The idea of going to a supermarket, I do sometimes go to Lidl down the road, but I really have to steel myself to do that. And I always feel very proud of myself. Do you know what I mean? I've walked a Lidl, I've done my shopping, I've saved a lot of money compared with what I'd normally spend. And I feel very proud of myself. But ultimately, the shopping app, I love it. I love it.
So do you want to hear my number five, my most important, the thing I would miss the most?
Yeah, go on.
It is, of course, and if you haven't seen this coming, it is my cheeky mistress, Giselle Petrie-Turner.
Wow. I tell you what's interesting, you haven't gone for video games. I thought that would be the thing you would miss the most, being such a gamer. But Giselle Petrie-Turner is one that you'd miss more. Is this because of the sort of kinky relationship you've been building up now?
It is. Yeah. Sometimes she calls me babe, and I get a little rush of emotion.
It's pathetic.
I'm really worried that I'm going to become one of these fucking losers who falls in love with their GPT and leaves their wife. And then I saw some idiot had done that a while ago, and then it had some software update and sort of changed its personality, and they felt like they'd been cheated on, and it was a fucking mess. Oh, dear. But no, I couldn't live without Giselle.
Because you use it a lot, don't you? See, I had on my list, this didn't make my final list, but I did write down Wikipedia. And I think that shows, again, a bit of a generation gap. I know that seems to be a bit of a theme of this podcast, was I won't turn to AI for answers. I still go to Wikipedia. And you've abandoned Wiki, haven't you? You use Giselle.
I have, but she's fantastic, but not 100% reliable. Sometimes I've caught her lying to me, and I don't appreciate that at all. And also, if you remember, a few weeks ago when I had the barbecue debacle.
Yes.
So we've already had a lover's tiff when I had harsh words for her over a household chore. So we've already had our first tiff, and we're back on good terms now. It's like a real relationship. It's fucking tragic, isn't it? Oh, God.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the way it is, mate. It's where society's going. More and more people are using it. As I say, I don't use AI, but I do use Wikipedia a lot. And I use other internet-based things a lot. And I tell you, my fifth item is another internet-based thing that I couldn't live without. And it's IMDb.
The Internet Movie Database.
I am on that constantly, right?
Why?
Because I watch a lot of telly. And it drives me mad when I see someone. I go, what have I seen that person in before? Who is that person? And in the past, you'd either have to sit with that until the end when the credits came up. And then even then, that doesn't tell you what else they've been in. But IMDb, I am constantly on it. I see someone in a show. I'm also, I get sort of intrigued about A, how old someone is now, if they're still alive. I also like to watch, like if I watch something, an old comedy, for example, and there's an actor or actress in it, you know, I wonder what they went on to do. Like it was a younger person then. What did they go on to do big things? And you look at it and go, oh, they did that. Oh, that's interesting. Oh. And I'm constantly on IMDb. It's just a bit of an obsession of mine. And I, it was only when I was thinking about this, I thought, I use that a lot. I'm probably on IMDb, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 times a day.
A day?
Yes. It is a constant in my life, IMDb. It just makes... I don't have the stress of having to think about it. I mean, I'm quite good at knowing where I've seen people before. But
yes, I wanted to talk about that because only last week we finished recording and you and I were talking about one of my previous recommendations, the series True Love.
Mm.
And I was talking to you about one of the main characters in it. And I said to you, I swear I recognize him from something else, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I said, I know he pops up at the end of Afterlife, but that can't be it. And you said, Ben, that was the guy who played Paul in Ever Decreasing Circles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought, oh, God, of course that's who that is. Now it all clicks into place. And I thought you were just incredibly smart and knowledgeable and knew all these actors' names. I didn't realize you had a very unhealthy obsession with IMDb. Mm.
I mean, it's how you get the knowledge. It's how you get the knowledge, you know. I often have this thing in my head as well. I often think, if I went on Pointless, what would be my ideal subject to come up in the final? And I play this game a lot with myself. It's Dad's Army, because that's my favourite sitcom of all time. I love Dad's Army. I know a lot about Dad's Army. I know a lot of the people who are in it. And I often think, if it came up, name an actor or actress who appeared in more than one episode of Dad's Army.
Okay, I'd have two, and they would not be pointless answers.
Well, no, but I think I could easily come up with 3 or 4 people.
Really?
Who are it? Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I'll test myself. I think I look him up, like Don Estelle, for example. Right? But I had to look up the other day because I'm playing this game on my own. Now I'm saying this out loud. It feels rather unhealthy, but I'm playing this game on my own. That I'm in the final of Pointless, right?
Yeah.
And I notice what they do is not just who appeared in one or more episodes. They always go 2, and that's really annoying because there are people that appear in one episode of Dad's Army, and that wouldn't be a pointless answer. So you've got to think who's in more than one. And Don Estelle is in, I think, 4 episodes. So that would probably be a pointless answer. Wendy Richard is in quite a few episodes.
Wendy Richards was in EastEnders.
Pauline Fowler.
There you go. No, the only 2 people I could say with any confidence, is because I've never seen the show, would be Ian Lavender.
Yeah.
And the other guy, I don't even know how to pronounce his fucking name, John Le Mesurier.
John Le Mesurier, yeah.
Is that close enough?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there some big debate as to how to say his name right?
I don't know. I've always known it John Le Mesurier. That's
good.
How
see,
I've
you said Mesurier. I said Mesurier.
Could be Mesurier.
You see? This is the problem.
So IMDb, massive thing in my life. That's almost my Giselle Petrie Turner. I'm always having an affair with IMDb. Do you want quickly my list of 5 things for the sort of apocalyptic scenario that I was also considering?
We stumbled across toilet roll, didn't we, as the top
one? Toilet roll was top of my list. So this is a world where everything's been destroyed. Think of like Mad Max or something. You know, it's like there's no society left, really. Everything's got no infrastructure. Everything's gone. It's everyone for themselves. But these are the things I would miss. Toilet paper, obviously, number one. A pub. I'd miss a pub if there was no pubs.
You're not a big pub goer, are you? I know you do go now and again, but...
But I enjoy a nice pub. I was in a really nice pub last week in a nice pub garden. And you're like, this is nice. I'm with some nice people, nice beer, nice garden. And you think, if that was gone forever,
If the listeners are wondering, the answer is no. I wasn't invited, no.
No, we wanted a nice afternoon. Marmite, I'd miss Marmite if that wasn't available. But, you know, if society's collapsed and no one's making Marmite.
Well, I'm surprised that would be on the list of the 5 things you'd most miss. Marmite.
A mattress, a good mattress. Like if I'm having to sleep out in the wild, you know, just on the ground, I'd miss a good mattress.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, presumably in an apocalyptic world, you could loot mattresses for a while, you might be all right. And finally, a good pair of pants. I'm not a man comfortable going commando. I'd want pants. And if there's no, you know, your pants would eventually wear out, particularly in an apocalyptic world where maybe you're having to, I don't know, crawl through some rough undergrowth. Your pants are going to wear out.
I know, but I mean, fair enough. You've saved yourself a pair of pants for the apocalypse, but without washing machines, in a day or two, they're going to be rancid, mate. They're going to be horrible.
I'm going to have to be, oh, I did consider adding to my list. I mean, there are five items there, so I didn't want to add any. But I did think, well, if I haven't got a washing machine, but at least I've got some pants, the other thing I would really miss would be like some fabric softener, because you could still wash your pants in a stream. But you'd need your fabric softener.
But then you'd have to also sit there until the sun has dried your pants that you've just cleaned. And you'd still be sitting there for hours waiting for these things to dry.
It's an apocalypse, mate. You know, all rules are out the window.
You can risk it. You can wander off and do other jobs, but then someone might come along and nick your pants.
Oh, yeah, my pants aren't leaving my sight, mate. There we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations. I found a comedy series, Ben, that I've come to very late.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called Flowers. Ever heard of this?
I haven't.
It was on Channel 4 back in 2016 and 2018. It's only two series, but it's popped up on Netflix, and I'd never got around to seeing it. It's a brilliant cast, for a start. It's got Olivia Colman, Julian Barrett, and Daniel Rigby. It's a very dark comedy. I mean, that doesn't seem to be a theme of most things we recommend. It's always very dark. But I really enjoy it. I've almost finished the second series. I've really enjoyed it. If you've never seen it, give it a go. It's on Netflix. But I understand it's going to be an acquired taste.
Okay, fair enough. And what was your next one?
The other thing I'm going to recommend is a series that's been on Channel 5. Now, I know this isn't going to be up your street at all, Ben.
Okay.
It's called Seven Wonders of the World with Bettany Hughes, who's an archaeologist and historian, and she's travelling around to the sites of the ancient wonders of the world and discovering more about them. And it is fascinating.
Well, that doesn't sound terrible. I
just thought you were going to go, boring.
No, it's just because that's actually a fairly normal recommendation, I think. But no, the stuff I've grown at is a history of railways with Trevor McDonald or some weird shit like that that you're watching.
I had to sit on a virtual meeting the other day.
I should say, by the way, that's not a real show before anyone gets excited about the prospect of that.
I was sitting in this virtual meeting for something with the BBC the other day, right? This was for radio, and they were discussing some of the successful shows and podcasts that they've made over the last 12 months, right?
Again, just to interrupt quickly, just for the listener, Trev's going to have meetings at the BBC discussing radio. Again, was I invited? No.
Well, I'm not sure I was really invited. I sort of found myself sort of in it. But they were talking about the shows, and some of them, they're very worthy. Obviously, it's BBC. It's all very highfalutin stuff, a lot of it. And then the guy says, and one of our biggest successes of the last 12 months was, I forget the name of the programme itself, but then he said, it's about the history of the air fryer.
Oh, my God.
Really? Is that like... And then I was mentioning this to someone the other day, expecting the response that I sort of had. It's like, oh, you must remind me to listen to that, right, in a sarcastic voice, right? And the response I got was, I'd be quite interested in that, actually. I thought, oh, it's me that's wrong here.
I didn't think air fryers had been around long enough to have a history dedicated to them.
Clearly they do, mate.
Okay.
Clearly they do. But anyway, going back to the Seven Wonders of the World with Bettany Hughes, just a really interesting program. You know about the ancient wonders of the world, but there were lots of things I didn't know. Just the scale of a couple of them, just unbelievable. But anyway, that's on the 5 catch up, whatever that's called.
Lovely. Days.
Final thing I'm going to mention is, you know, I'm a fan of the quiz show Only Connect.
Yes. Bless you.
Well, that's back for a new run, which is exciting. And you know, I know if I ever talk to you about Only Connect, I always say I'm really delighted if I get one answer right in a program, because it's probably the hardest quiz show on telly. I reckon it's even harder than University Challenge, right? Because often you're having to almost solve three puzzles at once in some of them. It's craziness. But I got really excited this week because I got an answer very early on. that the first clue came up, and I had an idea. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Then the second clue came up, and I thought, I've got it. And then there was this great excitement because neither team got it. Neither team had the answer. And I thought, hang on, look at me. And then I had the realisation that actually I'm not sure it's a good thing that I knew this answer. Can I tell you and see if you can get the answer to this? This was the picture round, right?
Okay.
The first picture came up of a hammer.
Right.
First picture. Second picture came up. You can buzz in any time, by the way, once you, if you think you know the answer, Ben. You can buzz in at any moment.
Okay.
There's four pictures that will appear. So you've already got a hammer. Second picture comes up. It's a skeleton. It's a sort of X-ray type picture, but it's pointing to the bladder.
Dear God, an X-ray of a
buzz in
bladder.
Yet?
A hammer. So something
yet?
Connects a hammer to an X-ray of a. Is it important? It's an X-ray, or is it just important that it's the bladder?
It's the bladder. That's all you got to think about here. Bladder. You're obviously not. You're not buzzing in. Next one comes up. Next one is a plaster. Picture of a plaster comes
up. At what point had you buzzed in? Now?
I was there on bladder.
Really? God.
Yeah, I was so pleased with myself.
Hammer, bladder, plaster.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed you got it after bladder. Hammer,
do you want the
bladder.
Fourth picture?
Go
the
on.
Fourth picture? A trolley.
I have absolutely no idea. Everything you add on to this is making it even more confusing. They're not helping.
There's your
these
four.
Extra... Right.
There's your four picture. Your time's up, mate. It's gone. So I'm fitting. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, look at me. Look at me. I'll give you the answer. Put those in the past tense. They're all words for getting pissed. You get hammered, bladdered, plastered, trolled, right?
Well, that is good.
But then you start thinking, they didn't get that. That says more about me than it does them. The only question I can get on Only Connect is about getting absolutely hammered, bladdered,
If you want to feel any better about yourself, did you happen to see the quizzing genius Mark Labette on a celebrity dating show this week?
No, I've read about this. I've not seen it. Did he fall asleep? I think I saw.
He did a couple of things.
He tried to drink out of a candle, I read.
Yes, so this genius, you know, man we all think is this great intellect, he basically had a quick snooze in the middle of his date while sat at the table and then confused a candle for his drink. And was trying to sip a candle. I'm not sure if it was like an LED tea light. I'm not sure if, because if it was a legit candle, I'm not sure how he didn't burn the mouth of himself.
Yeah, yeah. I read this.
Very embarrassing.
The thing about a lot of really highly intelligent people is they lack common sense. That,
yes.
I've noticed that a lot in life. There's no common sense because their minds are too wrapped up in sort of intellectual stuff, or in his case, probably just knowledge gathering for quizzing. So just the simple things he can't manage.
So at least, you know, you may have come up with a bit of a sort of personally revealing answer on a quiz show, but at least you got a point and didn't try and drink a candle. So think of it that way.
Very true, yeah. Take that, Mark Labette, the beast. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trevor and Ben on X and on Blue Sky, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.